Today on another chilling edition of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a woman woke up to what she interpreted as voices in her head, she begins to wonder if there is something wrong with her mind. Night after night, messages, seemingly from someone else, continue to be delivered at 3 a.m. Then just as quickly as the messages started, the messages promptly stop. Who is giving these strange cryptic codes to an unsuspecting woman? And why? That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more if you become an extra podcast person. That's what we call an EPP. You sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There you get access, like I said, bonus episodes, new one every week, like almost 400 some of them now. You also get the archive of episodes, which is quite literally, if you're just tuning in, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. We have created it over the last many a years, and it's all there for you as an extra podcast person. If you love ghost stories, you're never going to run out of them there. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Other extras too, advanced episodes at live shows and things of that nature as we bring that back to reality here in the coming months. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh my God, Dad, your dead cat Scruffles is hovering above your head.
Oh my God, there it is. Why? Why is he there? Or she. It was the she. I'm sorry. I call animals she all the time, and the one time I get it wrong is like when I should have had it right. You know.
The turtle.
Scruff was a good kitty. So here we are, ready to do another show. What's going on in your world?
Really nothing much. The pool's coming along.
Yeah, it's summer vacation now for Harper. She's on summer break.
I have a pet turtle and a free-range deer that's roaming around the property.
Which is quite true.
It's a baby deer the size of a small dog.
Just
roaming around the
property. We have this, it's kind of like a wonderland that we live in.
I named him Bambi.
And so I was mowing the lawn. Yeah, so number one, Harper found a turtle in the pool that's not done yet because there's a shortage on plaster at the moment. And that's the one thing we're waiting on to have this pool completed. And it's June. And we're like, maybe 4th of July, I'm hoping. So right now she's using it as an aquatic experiment and going down there every day and finding tree frogs and turtles. And thankfully no snakes yet.
No snakes yet. But there's about 15 frogs down there.
Yeah. And at night, they go crazy. You just hear frogs everywhere.
It's amazing.
So it's kind of fun. We're making the best of it. But the other night, I was out mowing the front pasture that we have. And the front pasture, so we have like 7 acres that we live on. The front pasture's about 3 or 4 of it. And it's all fenced in. And we did have cattle out there for a while. But then I turned it into a golf course. Because why not?
I bet you the cows turned into burgers.
I didn't. No, they didn't. I sold them to somebody. So now I turned it into a golf course. So I have 2 par 3 holes up there. And I was mowing it the other day. And all of a sudden, it was pretty high grass. This little baby deer goes running out of the grass. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so, and the entire property is fenced in. Mom jumps the fence every day to go take care of baby. But baby is up there and doesn't have a lot of places to hide now. But now baby just kind of runs around and we see it and it's kind of turning into a pet. And eventually it's going to get big enough and it'll hop the fence and it will go live its deer life, hopefully not into the side of a car. But while we're, I'm really, he's really timid. He's not getting close to us yet, but he's kind of, you know, he's looking at us and I'm hoping that maybe we can feed it and, you know, make a little friend and he'll want to come back more and more once he gets bigger. But yeah, it's funny. It's like out there, it's like, oh, there's a baby deer just walking around the yard.
I feel like the deer is like almost getting closer to this every time I like try to get it.
I think it's realizing that we're not there to hurt it and we're there to help it. And as long as mom can get in, and she does every night. I've seen mom a few times.
Have you almost hit her?
Oh, no, no. The other night I was mowing again and I saw, it was getting dark. It was dark, dark. And I saw like these outlines. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's the mom deer. The mom deer's over there. And baby was there too, but she comes in at dark and she kind of leaves them parked for the day. But I cannot say that baby deer couldn't have a more safe space to be hiding out in, because nothing's getting in here. So good choice, mama deer, for parking your deer on my golf course. It's your baby on my golf course, because he's or she, I don't know. It's got spots. I can't tell.
Harper has a baby deer as a pet.
So when we saw the deer the other night, Harper's like, that's my pet deer. That's mine now. It's mine. Like, well, mom needs to come help it and all that. But yes, you can. We can call it that for now.
I wasn't that ornery about it.
Oh, yes, you were. You were even saying swear words. You're like, that's my bleeping deer. I'm like, okay, honey, calm down. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it that far, but okay.
You were.
That's my deer.
We can't say on the air exactly what she said, but she was very enthusiastic about having a pet deer. So that's the latest in the little wonderland called the Brewski compound. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to a letter. It starts out, it started with hearing voices. Hey, everyone, love the show. I've been listening for years now. I finally decided to tell my story. This happened to me back when I was in high school, living at my parents' house. The house was newly built about 8 years prior to this paranormal happening. One late night, I woke up to hearing a voice. Chattering sounds, like it was coming from the corner of my bedroom. I tried listening to make out what was being said, but all it sounded like was mumbles. I was able to make out that there were two separate voices. The feeling came over me that these voices were talking about me. After the third night of hearing these judging voices, I started looking for a scientific explanation. Looking on the internet, I found a racing, tired mind can make it seem like you're hearing voices. That's where I left it until a night I had a girlfriend I just had met staying the night with me. I woke up by her telling me, I think there's someone under your window. As I listened, I heard the same voices I've been witnessing the past nights. The window was open, so I told her to go back to bed. It's probably just the neighbors. I knew that was a lie, though. This is where everything changed. The next night, I was alone in the bedroom. I woke up late, looking at the clock displaying 3 a.m. Between the girl hearing the voices last night, with me knowing it's not in my head, and waking up at 3 a.m. to a voice that was very unsettling. I never really believed in ghosts and all that, but had an interest. Every Halloween, the Warrens would do a lecture at my high school. I was able to talk with Lorraine after the event multiple times. What a great, interesting lady she was. Maybe I can write in and tell you more about that another time. So going back to 3 a.m. significance, from the Warrens' lecture, 3 a.m. had a demonic reference. As the nights went on, I would always wake up at night hearing unclear mumbles. As I listen, it now only sounds like a single voice. A new type of uncontrolling fear that I had never experienced had come over me. New experiences started happening in my bedroom, hearing movement in the room, seeing moving shadows, sounds of papers, wrappers being scrunched together out of thin air. The fear was so unbelievable, stunning, that if I had to go to the bathroom, I wouldn't even get off the bed to go. I'd hold it till the sun came out. It seemed to stop once it started getting light out. Some nights I'd be so scared, I started saying the Lord's Prayer and Hail Marys. This helped. After reciting them a few times each, the activity would stop, but would be right back the next night. The amount of fear that came over me was indescribable. One night I tried an experiment. Once the fear hit me, instead of reciting religious prayers, I recited the Star Spangled Banner. On the 10th time, I still felt a presence in my room. Felt like someone was looking at me. As soon as I said the Lord's Prayer and a Hail Mary, it stopped. One of the more unsettling experiences I had in that room was I woke up to the feeling someone was in bed with me. Too scared to look, I closed my eyes and, of course, started saying prayers. Within the first seconds of doing so, I felt my eyes squeezed closed. Something was face to face with me. Thinking in my head, I wouldn't like what I would see if I opened my eyes. I continued saying my prayers. On the fifth set of prayers, something blew air onto my face, and I felt some relief, as if whatever it was had left. This had to stop. I tried to reach out to Lorraine Warren, but wouldn't get any reply back. It's weird how things work in the end. My mother had hired a cleaning lady to clean our house. Time went on, still dealing with this thing in my room. The new cleaning lady overheard me talking on the phone about what's going on. As I hung up the phone, she asked if she could talk with me. She told me, I know you're dealing with something in this house, and that she could help. She told me her and her brother can tune in to the spiritual world. And it actually helped people dealing with negative energies. She told me her brother and herself can do a spin on the house. I believe that's what she called it. To get rid of these episodes I'm having in my bedroom. A week later, I had noticed the atmosphere in my room was different. No more waking up at 3 a.m. or anything else I've been experiencing. When I had the chance to speak with her again, I was told this. Around the time this all started, my cousin had passed away. I was told the cleaning lady that my cousin came to visit me. He being a new spirit, she was a bright light and a beacon. Something dark had caught eye of her and followed her when she came to visit me. She left, but this thing had stayed. I moved out of that house a few years later, but every time I visit, that room still creeps me out. That's my story. My telling and grammar is not great. If you need to clean anything up, please let me know. Thanks for the good work. I love the podcast. Thanks.
Okay. So one thing I will say is, just go to the bathroom if you ever have to hold your pee in when... Just go. I do have one question, though. Did you ever pee your pants when that was happening?
You know, I think I would have. I mean, I think there'd be times where I'd be so terrified, you'd be like, I'm not leaving, I'm not moving, and I'm just not going to do it, you know? But what a chilling experience to have to go through. And interesting, the paths that she crossed with Ed and Lorraine Warren... back in the day when they were doing...
I would love to meet Ed and Lorraine.
Lorraine?
Lorraine.
They're dead.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but like... if they could visit us as spirits, that'd be great.
Well, my friend, who's actually their grandson, he's told me, and it's been on our episodes of the Grave Talks that he's been on, that she's visited...
Us?
No, she's visited him on the other side.
Oh.
That he has stories of, she's out there. She's still trying to do her work from the other side, according to their grandson. But those are interesting episodes. They're over on the Grave Talks. If you've never listened to that, that's our interview show, where every week I interview people in the world of paranormal and just have just authentic one-on-one conversations and just hear their stories, a lot of what brought them into the world of paranormal. And then some folks have had it multiple times, and we go down rabbit holes of this or that, and he's always been a really interesting guest. But check it out. We're at The Grave Talks. Just search it wherever you download podcasts. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. You can call that 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. Kind of nice. And we've extended the time on there, too, because a lot of people get into the story and like it used to be like 12 minutes it would cut off. We have now extended it. So, yes, you can, in fact, go a little bit longer if you got a good story that you really want to get out there. We'd love to hear it. Again, 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's go over to a caller, as I still... Took me that long to try and load this darn thing. Here we go. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi.
Real quick story for you guys. The Queen Mary, based out of Long Beach Harbor here in California. I was supposed to do a quick lighting install. They were going to do a photo shoot, so I had my buddy Pete come. He is not somebody that believes in supernatural at all. So, and I enjoy it, but I don't believe in it. I believe 95% of it can be explained away. But anyway, we were going to do, in the Queen Salon, we were setting up some lighting equipment, and right at the front, there's a little security closet, and the door closes automatically, locks by itself, it's a security closet. Anywhere you have to go on the ship, you have to have a key. So we had to get all of these lights from the security closet into this big, huge ballroom. So it's part of the same room. And we ran out of room on the cart for all the little lights, and so we had two large lights left that we couldn't fit on the cart. So I said, okay, well, let's get the cart out to the middle of the room, and I'll come back and grab these other two larger lights. So we get about 30 feet out, the door closed, locks automatically, and I go back into the room, and the lights that we left on the floor are gone. So I am questioning Pete. I'm like, hey, are the lights on the cart? And he says, no, they're not on the cart. And I said, okay, well, let me go find something else. So I have to go through three other locked doors. There's solid wood doors, there's a steel door, and then there's a gated cage that we get to store a lot of our stuff in. So I go through all the final doors. I get up to the cage. I see right through the fence. Right in the middle of the floor are these two white lights. I hadn't taken Pete to the rest of the ship yet. And so I come back and I ask him, I say, hey, Pete, did I show you the rest of the ship? And he says, no, not yet. So I knew that we hadn't seen those lights in that room yet. So we're setting up, and we set up six different lighting stations, and we have these lighting trees, and we had set up four out of the six. I was working on number five. He's working on the last one, and we're high up on ladders. And all of a sudden, I hear from the fourth one that I've already completed this tapping, and it's continuously tapping. I look over, and there are three cords hanging down, and just the middle one is tapping against the post. So I call Pete's attention to it, and as soon as we're looking at it for about 5 seconds, it instantly freezes in the air, and it just stops making any sound at all. So Pete just looks at me and says, oh, that's weird. And I say, yeah. So I go and I help him on his final lighting setup. And what we're doing is we're actually doing a lighting setup for three tables in the middle of this huge salon area. And anyway, they're uncovered tables, but there are three tablecloths that are folded up, but they're just sitting on one table. We're on the very last light, or we decide to pull the focus in so there's not so much bleed all over the floor, and just kind of focus the lighting on the tables. And sure enough, we look at the table, we say, let's cut the light in a little more. We look up and tap the barn door in by, takes less than 2 seconds. Look back down, all three tablecloths have unfolded themselves and spread themselves out onto each table, which is about 10 feet apart. So, needless to say, I have my own theories. I know, again, 95% of everything is explainable. But I'll let you guys have at it. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thoughts?
Okay, my main thing is just why would you mess it up if you're a ghost and, like, hiding all this stuff in weird places? So, like, and that's when you have to bust the Ouija board out.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like, why are you doing this?
There's so many things on that boat that I want to go see.
New vacation?
It's just a trek over there, but yeah, I do want to go see it at some point in life. I don't know when. It's not on my immediate list.
It should be.
Well, you know, we might. It may actually come up quicker than thought, because we have my significant other has some family out there.
Ooh.
So that may actually happen at some point.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. I don't know. We'll see. I've never been to California of all the places I've been this way. I'm trying to think if I've been in the airport anywhere. I don't think I have. We will be in about a month because I think we're transferring out of LAX. But never actually been in town or anything though. But no, there's so many things in Long Beach. I'd love to go see that the Queen Mary while it's still in existence, because it gets more difficult and difficult every year for them to maintain that thing. Let's go to another letter. It says, Morgan from Grand Haven, Michigan again. I called in a story around Halloween, and I think I may have gotten lost in all the callers, so I thought I'd try this way. This isn't actually my story, but my boyfriend's, but I can account for quite a few questionable mishaps happening in this house. First, a little information about the house. Chris and his family live in a pretty large three-story house. When you enter from the front, there's a mudroom, then dining room to the left, and living room to the right. Beyond the living room is the kitchen, which wraps around to the dining room. I was sitting in the kitchen one day, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw Allie, Chris's littlest sister, walk out of the living room and into the dining room. Fully expecting to see her emerge from the dining room, I said, "Hey, y'all, did you have a good day?" No response. Figure she must have just walked up the stairs or went into the basement, but alas, moments later, she comes in through the garage on the other side of the kitchen, just returning home from work. As in multiple instances, me and my boyfriend have been sitting downstairs in the living room. I heard footsteps, TV turning on upstairs, or we hear people in the laundry room hanging clothes, but when no one is home. But the weirdest thing that I've ever heard from this house is this. One early morning, my boyfriend awoke out of a dead sleep to his bed violently shaking. He said it felt like an earthquake, but when he looked around, his whole room was still there except his bed. The weird thing about this is that the next day, his best friend called him and told him he had a nightmare that there was a dark, demonic-like creature standing over his bed. Coincidence? I think not. There have been multiple occasions where I've woken in the middle of the night, and I swore I saw a darker-than-dark figure standing in the bathroom doorway. Chris has also told me he has felt people sitting on his bed when he was alone downstairs. I always get a very bad feeling in that basement, and sometimes it even makes the hair on my neck stand on edge. Last week, we came home, and Chris told me that he felt something watching him in the garage. I told him it was probably just his imagination, and we shut the garage door and left, but lo and behold, we get a call later that night asking if we had been home and if we had been left the garage door open and the lights in the house on, which we did not. Came home there last week, and there was glass shattered all over the ground by the back door. I don't know what's going on in this house, but it's definitely scary. I surely don't want to find out what it is either. Thanks for all the great stories and the time you put into your show. I'm an EPP and could not be happier with it. God bless, Morgan.
Time to bust out the crucifix.
Bust out the crucifix?
The power of Christ compelled this house.
So what would you do if you bust out a crucifix?
Get some holy water as well. A big thing of holy water and just chuck it out the house.
You're talking like a Culligan water, like water tank of holy water?
Bigger. Like a whole fire hose.
Here's something interesting I learned about holy water is you can extend it. So if you get like a little vial of it, just a little thing,
okay,
you can pour that holy water into a bigger thing of water and it makes the whole thing holy water. And you can just keep going from that vat of holy water. And it's like dough almost. It's like people have like old sourdough that they keep making starters from and then extending it out. It's like that, but it's on a spiritual level with...
Just call the fire department, have them spray the house, and then just chuck a thing of holy water at it.
Could you make holy dough? Because you have to put some water usually in dough. What if you made dough with holy water and made that as a starter, and then you just kept starting all your bread out of that thing, but it was originally started with holy water? Would you have holy bread, holy dough? I'm not trying to be blasphemous here or offend any religion. I'm just saying.
Holy bread.
What if you cooked with holy water?
You should try that. I'm going to buy a thing of holy water now.
I wouldn't trust buying it on Amazon, quite honestly.
Whoever said I was going to buy it off of Amazon?
I don't know where else you're going to get it, but I can...
Etsy, Google.
I can, you know, I'm going to actually ask that question to some people that are on the Grave Talks quite often, some exorcists and things like that that work with it, because, I mean, it's a silly question, but I'm curious as to if that legitimately, you know, could be a thing. I don't know. Anyway, let's go to a phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Kip. I served in the Navy in the San Diego area back in the 2008, 2009. And I don't have a ghost story as much as I have a doppelganger story. I was on a cruise where we were doing some training. We were on a ship out at sea, and I worked, you know, graveyard shift, 7 to 7. And one night, my chief and his crew went out to be trained, a new petty officer meeting, new chief meeting, all that. And so there was nobody left in the compartment except for me. And I was supposed to run the show and take weather reports and take calls from officers, as anybody usually does in the weather and on a ship, you know, communications. And so it's about 10 o'clock at night, and I'm going to take my observation. And keep in mind that it's totally dark. There's no city lights outside. The ocean's pitch black. The only light you see is the moon, and it's always, like, directly on the horizon, almost like the sun. Like, there's really no light illuminating much anything, depending on the night, whether it's full or crescent, what type of moon you're dealing with, what have you. And so I go out to take an observation, and it's pitch black. And I come through the hatch, and if you've ever been through a hatch, that big metal door on a ship, it creaks open and slams closed, and then you hear the hatch lock itself. And I walked out by myself on this weather observation about 20 yards before I hear the hatch turn and open. And I turn around, and I shine my flashlight in the pitch dark towards the door, and I say, "Who's there?" And I look, and it's my petty officer coming out the door. And she looks at me, and I can see, like, the silver reflecting in her eyes from, like, my flashlight. So I take the flashlight off of her, and all you hear is, like, the roar of the Navy ship. And I go, "Hey, what are you doing out here? I got this. You know, how you doing?" And I don't hear a word. I don't hear nothing. I start walking toward the door, and I shine the light up, and there's nobody there. And, yeah, there's a ladder well right beside the hatch door. Nobody ran up it. I mean, like, every little thing just tings out there on the ocean where you just hear the noise. And I mean, there was just, you know, so I take the observation and I go back down. And as I walk into our office, our compartment, to put down my findings, like, I see, like, the petty officers and the chiefs are back. And I said, "Hey, petty officer, were you just out on the deck with me out on the crow's nest?" And the petty officer was like, "No." And I, you know, to this day, I haven't been able to explain that experience, but you guys have a good night.
You know, maybe you don't want to explain that experience. It might have been, like, something that, like, could have gone wrong in that moment, and, like, something horrible that, like, could have happened, and that thing just kind of made you avoid it.
I could see that. Yeah, where it was almost, yeah, ominous, and it just... things worked out how they were supposed to work out.
Yeah.
Essentially. And digging in deeper, you may not want to attempt to do that.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. I got one more. Ooh. It's marked kid's story. This might be a kid telling their story. Here we go.
Hi, Tony. This is, so I have a story. So I love listening to your guys' podcasts while I'm at school and stuff like that. So my grandpa's house, it's like over 100 years old. So I go there every summer usually. And one morning, I know this kind of sounds crazy, but one morning I was laying there, and I've told my mom about this part, but there's some other parts that I haven't told people about. But I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I was in their living room, and all of a sudden, I felt just a repeated tapping, tapping, tapping. And so I turn around thinking it was someone telling me to go get up and get ready for the day, but it wasn't. When I turn around, there's no one there. And so I was terrified, but then I saw kind of their upstairs, it's like no one ever goes there. And I saw the door kind of slowly open. This part I've never told anyone. but it slowly opened up. And I went upstairs, and I walked up those stairs, and I walked down the hallway, and all of a sudden I saw this, like, mist coming together into a form. And I saw this, like, tall woman with black hair and, like, and really old, like, she had a bonnet on and some other stuff like that, walked down the hall towards me, and just at when she went right past me, I could feel the air just get super cold. So, yeah, that's my story. So, thanks for listening to it. See you.
Okay, with, like, the temperature changing, now, it can either go to warm or to cold, from the stories I've heard.
More cases than not, it gets cold. I don't know why, but it does.
Exactly. So this either could be, like, welcoming or at some sort of way.
I'm waiting for the ghost that does warm. I don't think I've ever heard that, quite honestly. I've never heard a ghost story where it's like, and it got really hot. It's always, it gets really cold. Always. Never had one that got hot, ever.
I've experienced the really cold part.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
When?
The Titanic story.
I know. I was just seeing if you remembered what. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you keep in mind that room was supposed to get cold.
I know, but like something colder.
Because you were freaking out before we even got into the cold room.
I know. Yeah. But there was something colder that touched me and I don't like it.
You were small enough that I could carry you. That's how tiny you were.
I know.
Yeah. I know. I'm putting it out there for the audience to understand. This wasn't like last year, and you know I'm carrying an 8-year-old or something like that. No, you were what 4-ish? I think
4.
Yeah.
So this was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Listen, I remember my mom tripping down the stairs with me in her arms. Okay.
Yeah, you were. I wasn't. I was doing a TV show that day. I was in another state. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Really? How'd that go?
Not fun.
You didn't get hurt, did you?
No.
No. Remember she told me that, she tripped down the stairs, but she protected you. And, I mean, when I came back, you only had 3 black eyes. I'm kidding.
You can't have 3 black eyes. I have 2 eyes.
Your third eye. No, I'm kidding. No, you were completely fine, and she felt horrible, but and in no way do I think there was anything, you know, malice going on there. It was just a, you know, accident that happened. But I remember it scared me. I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember she said she slipped on the stairs. It's interesting that you would have been like, you're like less than a year.
I just have really good memory, okay?
I do too, though, honey. I remember I have weird little things like that that I can pick out from like 1 or 2 years old. And people are like, how do you remember that? I don't get when people are like, I don't remember a lot of my childhood. Like, what do you mean you don't? Like, I could probably pick something out from every year, quite honestly. If I needed to, I could. I could remember, especially photos do jog the memory. But I do have memories pre-1. I have memories certainly at 1 and 2 and 3 and every year after that. Yeah. I'm always baffled when someone's like, I don't remember like anything before 7. Like, where the hell were you for this? like I already been doing a show for the last first, like, cause I started doing a tape recorded fake ghost show at about 2.5 into the tape recorder. I have a tape of it. It's Ghostbuster Radio is what I called it. And that it's just absolutely insane that I was doing that. And now this is what I do for a living. But I can say I've been doing this now for roughly about 40 years. So, it's. But normally when people are like, oh, I've been doing it for 40 years, they're like 80. Like, I'm just going on 40. So, it's like, I didn't waste any time going out of the gate of going like, let's start doing a ghost show. Like, within 2 years of me being alive, it's like, I was trying to invent this thing. it's crazy. There you go. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I got a date to get to. I do. It's just in the other room, though.
It's 5:48.
Yeah.
Get to it.
My significant other's coming over. We're doing some grilling tonight.
Ooh.
So it should be fun.
Kebab.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out our EPP stuff, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Thanks for supporting Real Ghost Stories Online.